This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to the Friday, May 18th, 2018 edition of the Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're going to be seeing increasing clouds today, late showers, high temperature of 60 at the lake, 74 in the outlying areas. Right now, 65 degrees at O'Hare and 52 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank, and we will stay with CBS News for special reports three times this hour on the high school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. But let's get the latest on the markets now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, right now the Dow is up 13 points, NASDAQ down 16 or a quarter percent, S&P off 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by almost 0.2%. The uncertainty is tied to U.S.-China trade talks and a 60 Minutes report this Sunday. Coming up on Google parent Alphabet, critics will appear on the news program to say Alphabet has stifled competition and Alphabet shares are down more than 1%. Investors are also concerned about Nordstrom. That stock is dropping 10%. Its first quarter was more like JCPenney's than Macy's, with weaker than expected sales growth. And like JCP, Nordstrom says shoppers weren't much interested in warm weather apparel, while the early spring cold snap hit much of the country. And the market's gone cold on Campbell's Soup. That stock is sinking almost 12%. Campbell's CEO has abruptly left the company after 7 years of trying to reignite sales growth. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're looking at the markets and commodities are standing out. We'll talk about that. And Education Week on News Radio concludes today. What can college applicants do to stand out when they're trying to get into a college?
If you missed the good old days of the video arcade, it's still alive and well in Brookfield. It's Entrepreneur Friday. We'll talk to the owner of the Galloping Ghost Arcade. All that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is the final day of Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. We will learn how to stand out when applying for a college. That's in our next segment. Right now, we're updating the tenuous trade situation between the U.S. and China, along with other issues impacting American and world economies. We're joined by Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute at St. Louis. Paul, what do we know right now?
Well, we're seeing some signs of a breakthrough between the U.S. and China. China is easing up on farmers, ending an anti-dumping and anti-subsidy investigation into imported U.S. sorghum. At the same time, the U.S. is easing up on a Chinese cell phone maker, ZTE, which has bought a lot of things from the U.S. and on which the administration had put some sanctions. So there's some signs that the U.S. and China might be moving towards a trade deal of sorts. One big problem for them will be that the U.S. wants the Chinese to buy $200 billion worth of additional products from the U.S. It's not easy to see how the Chinese would, or the U.S. would be able to supply that much more to the Chinese. So we'll see how that develops further. So that one is showing some signs of progress. But on the NAFTA dealings with the Mexicans and the Canadians, that one's looking a little bit more stretched and the negotiations are very slow. We'll have to see how that one develops, but it looks a lot more dead in the water than the Chinese and U.S. negotiations.
Campbell's Soup reported today and is blaming the steel tariffs as a cause of why the company has lost money in the last quarter.
I'm not in a position to be able to comment on their profits and losses, but the steel tariffs, generally speaking, from an economic standpoint, were not that large to begin with and were quickly offered exemptions from any companies in the in the week or two following the imposition of those tariffs back in April. So our take is that steel and aluminum tariffs were put out there in order to give the administration room to negotiate with other countries. We don't think they'll have big economic impacts. We would be more concerned if the administration were to broadly put tariffs across a wide variety of goods. So far, we're not seeing that.
The premise that candidate Trump set forth in the campaign trail was that the U.S. Trade deals in place with China were very much one-sided and tilted in China's favor. Is it possible to renegotiate with China in a way where the U.S. is the clear winner, or is give and take just the art of the deal, as it were?
That's a great question, and I think what we're going to see almost surely is some form of compromise. The U.S. it can't get everything that it wants out of the Chinese. The Chinese simply won't give up because they have development goals of their own, especially in the tech sector. By the year 2025, they want to have a very strong tech sector by that time. And for the Chinese to simply allow the U.S. its way on all of these issues would probably postpone or derail those goals. China is not likely to allow that, but they would be willing, I think, to allow the U.S. to sell them a lot more and a lot wider variety of goods to try to narrow that trade deficit a little bit. The Japanese did something like that in the 80s as well. So there is room here for a deal, but probably not to get everything the U.S. wants.
Compared to negotiating with China, how more or less complicated would redoing NAFTA be?
You know, the thing about NAFTA is that the U.S. has some very strong demands out there, just as they have strong demands out there to the Chinese. But the Canadians and the Mexicans have really balked at negotiating on some of those tougher demands. So it remains to be seen whether or not the Canadians and the Mexicans will feel themselves pushed enough into a corner to ultimately give in. But it does seem like the administration is prepared to keep a tough line, a hard line, with its negotiating partners.
Well, thanks as always for the insights. Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy of the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis, Missouri. Coming up, making sure a college applicant stands out from the crowd.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Education Week on the Noon Business Hour, and this afternoon the focus is on the highly competitive application process. Welcome in Deb Donnelly, who is a post-high school counselor at New Trier in Winnetka. Deb, welcome to the program. Of the, I guess you want to call it the big three criteria for getting into the college of your choice, test scores, activities, and maybe your application essay, what's the thing that admissions counselors are really looking for this year?
Well, Rob, I'm going to add to that a little bit, and I will tell you that most college admissions officers want to see the rigor of the high school program. They want students to have appropriate challenge in their academic classes. I think more and more test scores are dropping to the bottom of that list because they're realizing that a 4.5 hour on a Saturday morning is not indicative of what a student can actually do and what they can contribute to the classroom setting.
Education Week, by the way, is sponsored by Huntington Learning Center and St. Xavier University. Could we see a time where the SAT and ACT are completely phased out?
You know, in my dreams, yes. Not maybe in my lifetime, but I think, again, that there's increasing evidence that says that college students or prospective students applying to college, rather, you know, when they do well on those tests, it's really a reflection of the fact that they can test well. They can retrieve information in a time-effective manner. They know the tricks of the test. It may not certainly reflect what they've learned in the classroom. It certainly doesn't reflect what students can contribute. I don't think on any of our gravestones we want to see our name with our ACT composite score. That doesn't define us.
The essays are also a big part of it, and you know and I know that there's an industry out there of people who are getting kids together with their essays and helping them with that. Do the colleges know that that is happening, and can they tell?
Yes, Chris, I think they do know that the industry is huge. And I think that there's some authenticity in a 17-year-old voice that a 60 or a 50-year-old assistant or essay specialist, if you will, can't really replicate. So I think that you know, when I read essays and I can tell that they've been assisted by a parent or by some adult, it doesn't ring true. You know, it doesn't have that enthusiasm of a 17-year-old.
All right, because that makes it more fair then. Deb, thanks so much for joining us. Deb Donnelly is post-high school counselor at New Trier High School in Winnetka. For more on the business of getting into college, go to wbbmnewsradio.com/education. We'll discuss job prospects for grads later in the show. And still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, a passion for video games spawns a huge arcade in the Chicago suburbs. WBBM News Time 12:25, the markets, sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, not much action here on Wall Street. The Dow up 30 points or 0.1%. NASDAQ down 9 or 0.1%. S&P lower by 3. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining about 0.25%. Crude oil futures also little change, slightly lower at $71.35, up almost 1% so far this week. For a check of the grains markets, we turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. News that China's dropping its anti-dumping claims against U.S. sorghum and that the Argentine crushing plant workers may be on strike along with the Brazilian truckers. And a drier world weather pattern have all been supportive to the grain futures this morning. July corn is up 6.75. The beans are up anywhere from 2 to 3, and the wheat market's up 14 to 15 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
There are at least 8 deaths following a high school shooting in Texas. A special report from CBS News is just ahead.
Another developing story, reports of a Boeing 737 that crashed while taking off from Havana.
Stocks are mixed. We'll see what's affecting the markets.
Entrepreneur Fridays, suburban video arcade where you get all day to play more than 600 games for just $20.
And we'll wrap up Education Week with a look at job prospects for college graduates.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 7, the NASDAQ down 12, S&P 500 off by 4.
AccuWeather says increasing clouds today, a couple of showers arriving late in the afternoon, a high near 60 at the lakefront to 74 in some northwestern suburbs, going down to the mid-50s tonight. Right now it's 63 degrees in Chicago under partly sunny skies as the noon business hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank. And it's the final day of the trading week. Let's take a look at what's happening on Wall Street with Vahan Janjigian, who is the Chief Investment Officer of Greenwich Wealth Management, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. Vahan, welcome back to the program. And just let's talk about the week on Wall Street, compared to the volatility of the last couple of weeks. This week was a welcome respite.
Yeah, that's true. We've had quite a period of volatility this year. Which has been unusual compared to recent years. In recent years, there's been virtually no volatility of the market. But volatility picked up earlier this year and seemed to be returning to relatively normal levels. But suddenly it's dropped again. Suddenly we have very little volatility now.
And what can we expect in the week ahead?
Well, you know, I think the focus right now is on trade. There's been a lot of talk about trade negotiations with China, of course. You know, we heard this morning that rumors that China was going to try to reduce the trade deficit by about $200 billion turned out not to be true. So there are negotiations still going on. But I really think investors are more focused on NAFTA rather than they are on China. Our total trade with China, if you include exports and imports, is about $600 billion a year. But with Canada and Mexico, it's almost twice as much. It's about $1 trillion a year. So I think that's the more important area for trade. And I think there's also a greater likelihood that there will be some resolution to the conflicts with Canada and Mexico.
Vahan, commodities are posting their best returns in a decade. What's that telling us?
Yeah, you know, I'm very happy about that because about a year or two ago, when oil prices collapsed, I really increased the exposure in my portfolio to oil-related stocks, and now it's really paying off. I think it's telling us a couple of things. I think one reason why oil prices in particular have been going up is because demand is strong. But there's also the conflict, the disagreements with Iran, and Iranian oil may be taken off the world market. It may be more difficult for them to sell it. We have Venezuela that's basically collapsing and having difficulty producing as much oil as it otherwise could. Saudi Arabia has also cut back a little bit on production. Of course, they would like to see the price of oil go much higher before they do the IPO of Saudi Aramco. So I think all of these factors are contributing to the rise in oil prices, but I'm focused on the demand. I think demand for oil will continue to grow and is relatively healthy.
I know that you don't issue, what we should do, but do you think it would be a good idea for investors to take a look at that area?
Yes, I've been investing primarily in the XLE, which is an ETF of integrated oil companies primarily. The two biggest components are Exxon and Chevron. And of course, these are stocks that had been pummeled in recent years, but now they seem to be coming back. So I think that's a good way to get a relatively diversified portfolio in the oil sector. And another stock that I like in the oil area is a production company called Murphy Oil, ticker symbol MUR. And it also pays a very nice dividend, and it's been quite strong in recent months.
Any trends in going back to trade for a second? Any trends in the discussions about trade deals with China or in a renegotiated NAFTA? Anything that's really jumping out at you?
No, nothing in particular. I just think that there's a lot of smoke going on where President Trump has been making all kinds of threats, trying to cut better deals with these nations. I don't know what will happen with China, but I think that there's a very high probability that there will be a resolution to the NAFTA agreement, and that's the more important one. As I said, it constitutes a much greater proportion of our trade.
And then when it comes to any market allocations based on any trade deals or proposals, wait and see right now, or can you start doing things to be proactive?
Well, I'm primarily a stock picker, so I'm really focused on stocks that I think are undervalued. I tend to go into areas that are out of favor right now, but I think are likely to come back within the next couple of years. And, I'm looking at companies like IBM and Verizon, for example, that are paying tremendous dividends but are out of favor with investors right now. I think those are stocks that will do well over time. I'm also, investing in a company called Kimco, KIM, which is a real estate investment trust paying an 8% dividend. And, of course, these kinds of companies have been selling off because of the fear that interest rates will be rising. But eventually, interest rates will stabilize and these stocks will do well.
Do you have an appetite right now? And just very quickly, do you have an appetite right now for some of the sexy stocks, Amazon,
They certainly are sexy stocks, but no, I don't. I think Amazon, as I've said many times, Amazon is a great company, but I think it's a very overvalued stock.
Okay, thanks so much. Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday, a suburban business that can provide the cure for Pac-Man fever.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Invaders! Possibly from space!
All right. It's Saturday night. I have no date. A 2-liter bottle of Shasta and my All Rush mixtape. Let's rock.
Welcome to Entrepreneur Friday, and also welcome to any Futurama fans who definitely get the reference we just played there. And this afternoon, we are taking a journey back into the world of stand-up video games. If you spent a lot of time at Aladdin's Castle at Chicago Ridge Mall back in the day, this place is for you. Welcome in Don Mack, who is the president and CEO of the Galloping Ghost Arcade based in Brookfield. Doc, welcome to the show. Why did you decide to devote your life and your livelihood to Space Invaders and Street Fighter II?
Thanks for having me. First off, and basically there was back when we opened the arcade in 2010, we had already been working quite a bit with our production company, Galloping Ghost Productions, on an arcade game. And there was just no place to go play anymore. So it just seemed like a wide open market, and while there was a lot of people that were skeptical about if there was anybody that would go to the place, I felt very confident that there was, and literally from the outset, it had a great response to it, and it's continued to grow over the last 8 years.
And you don't have to go to the bank to get a roll of quarters to play. $20, all you can play for as long as you want.
Yep, we're open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., so for $20 you can spend all day and try. We have 650 arcade games, so it's pretty much anything that you can think of, we try to have it.
Doc, does a new technology change the landscape for you? Have you gone through that?
The new technology developments do help with repairs on games. We're able to, like, 3D print parts that we need, which has helped keep a lot of the older games running. But as far as, like, the technology side on comparing, like, game quality, like, the games that are at the arcade have really stood the test of time. So it doesn't matter that they're not the most visual up-to-date games. Like, people still love this stuff and literally travel from all over the world to come play it.
Do you find that you're the ages of the people who come to you are just over and over again? You're getting new sources.
Absolutely, the demographic that actually comes is it's everyone. It's parents bringing their young kids, teenagers coming on their own, like coming on first dates, and men, women, it's everybody. We've got an elderly couple that they're in their 80s, and they're there frequently. So it's definitely almost an unexpected demographic because it is so consistent and even throughout all the age ranges.
You do have some hipsters who may be 18 or 19, born long after the era of vinyl records, who do enjoy music on vinyl. Do you have people who were born long after the Pac-Man era who enjoy playing the video games of the early 80s because they just appreciate the art form?
Absolutely. There's players like Austin Swan, who he started coming when he was very young. He still is very young, but he's setting world records on games like Mad Planet. We've got guys like Chris Plackey, who, in comparison to some of our other regulars, he's definitely younger, but he's just into playing everything, setting scores, and definitely there's no predetermined age group that these games are intended for. Just everybody enjoys them.
Well, thanks a lot, Doc Mack, president and CEO of the Galloping Ghost Arcade based in Brookfield. Still to come, we put the finishing touches on Education Week with a look at the employment picture for college grads.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We are wrapping up Education Week on News Radio with a look at the finished product. Let's find out about job prospects for college graduates with Michelle Reisdorf. She is regional vice president at the staffing firm Robert Half here in Chicago. Michelle, how's the job market?
It's great.
For people who are just getting out of college?
Yes, it's actually probably one of the best job markets there has been for college graduates, definitely up about 5%.
And what areas particularly?
High demand in IT, accounting and finance, and customer service.
What if you were a member of the college graduating class of 2009 or 2010, you know, getting out of school and entering the job market in the teeth of the Great Recession? As a college graduate then, how should you feel about this year's graduating class? And then have your prospects brightened over time?
Well, definitely coming out of the recession, there were not very many jobs and wage growth was pretty low. Coming out now, wage growth is up 5.2%. Over this time last year compared to like 2% in recessionary times. And the job market is very, very strong. Probably over 80% of companies are saying they're going to hire college graduates.
For the kids who are still in high school and looking at college, what would you recommend that they study in college to get a good job afterwards?
Definitely anything with some sort of technology involved. Business is really strong and high. And definitely take any opportunity they can for volunteer work, internships, temporary assignments, things like that, anywhere they can get some experience.
Well, thank you very much for the insights. Michelle Reisdorf, who is the regional vice president at the staffing firm Robert Half, based here in Chicago. And a reminder, we'll play back some highlights of Education Week tomorrow morning in the 10 o'clock hour right here on WBBM. And for more information, go to WBBMNewsRadio.com/education.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, now all three of the benchmarks are in the red, but the losses are slight. The Dow off 2 points to 24,712. NASDAQ losing 21 points or 0.25%. S&P down 7. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 0.1%. Shares of Google parent company Alphabet lower by more than 1% now. A report scheduled to air on CBS's 60 Minutes show on Sunday will feature Google critics accusing the company of stifling competition. The latest big retailer to release quarterly results is echoing what JCPenney, Walmart, and the Home Depot have said, that colder than usual weather dinged sales. And Nordstrom says customers weren't buying warm weather clothes either in the early spring, and Nordstrom shares are sinking 10%. Campbell's Soup shares are falling 12% after the sudden departure of its CEO. Denise Morrison is leaving after 7 years. She tried and failed to move beyond Campbell's canned soup and spur sales growth as we change how we shop and eat. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.